so excited to be talking with our good friend, Dr. Ling Yeok Lee, who is a passionate sleep and airway-centric dentist and has been doing exceptional work in providing a holistic patient management approach. Yeok Lee advocates for minimal, non-invasive intervention to achieve sustainable outcomes. She spares no effort and resources in acquiring the technology and knowledge in order to render the best care for her patients. She truly is someone who shares not just her extensive knowledge and skills, but her heart for the good of others. Yeok Lee advocates prevention and rehabilitation of poor facial and jaw growth and development that results in dental misalignment, a sleep disorder breathing, and compromised systemic health. She is also an advocate of oral myofunctional therapy, incorporating into it the treatment of oral facial myofunctional disorder and dental health, dental sleep medicine for both children and adults.
Wow, Yeok Lee, a very impressive credential list. I'm looking here that you received your Doctor of Dental Surgery from the University Science of Malaysia, graduating with honours in 2006, recipient of the USM Chancellor's Gold Award, the USM University's Gold Award and Conference of Malay Rulers Royal Education Excellence Award on your graduation year. Very, very long list, including your postgrad training and certs from the orthotropics of, from the London School of Facial. I can't pronounce this. Orthotropics? And you even did a mini residency on guiding craniofacial growth and development in children. And then you did the oral myology from Colson Institute of Orofacial Myology. Also a myobrace from MRC Australia, implant training program from the University of Southern California. Yeok Lee, you practice minimal non-invasive dentistry to achieve sustainable outcomes for your patients. Welcome to the Kurang Manis podcast. And do tell us, why this kind of specialty, a very long list of specialty?
Thank you, Jasmine and Nikki. Wonderful to be here. For me, I try to contribute to a patient's well-being by trying to treat the underlying cause of the presenting complaint or features. Because when you treat the underlying issue, you will most likely achieve a long-term sustainable outcome. For example, if I see a set of crooked teeth in children, my first approach is to understand the overall health, the medical, surgical, sleep, habits, allergy, diet, nursing histories, as well as the oral facial muscle tone and muscle habits, tongue habits, and its posture and breathing habits as well, because this gives me a great deal of clues in unraveling the mystery of the crooked teeth. And once, and oftentimes it is really multifactorial. Once I understand the presenting features, I'm now able to correct these underlying issues without too much invasion, i.e. jaw surgeries and extractions. In fact, I'm trying to also prevent future invasions when treating the source of the problem. So why this kind of specialty? I do believe when we are trying to work with nature to understand what the body is revealing to us, through all these presenting signs and symptoms, the outcome becomes predictable. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction and meaning, knowing that what I do is beneficial and sustainable.
That is so very interesting and eye-opening. I was once a dental nurse for my uncle, who's a dentist. So I have seen through many mouths. And I think Nikki's got a question into malocclusion, sleep and airway, and compromise health. You know, what's really interesting, may I call you Yeok Lee?
Yes,
Dr.
Please.
Ling.
Yes,
okay. Dr. Yeok Lee, with kids and having overcrowded teeth, how does that affect their sleep? I mean, I would never have thought there was a link.
So how are they linked? Crooked teeth is actually multifactorial. First of all, we really have to understand how the craniofacial system grows and develops. The major contributing organ that plays this vital role is the tongue. So this soft patty of flesh we call the tongue is not just one muscle. It is a conglomeration of 8 separate muscles. And the tongue exerts forces onto the roof of the mouth, which is the palatal bone, to expand and widen this bone. And the major contributing factor is really through proper direct latching during breastfeeding. And in this milking process, the tongue has to exert a lot of forces onto the palatal bone, and this causes the bone to expand and widen. So good tongue forces on the palatal bone forms a good size to house the future adult teeth. And this widening and development involves a lot of jaw muscle activity. So at the same time, we also know that the roof of the mouth is also the floor of the nose. They share the same bone. This is a very important concept because a wide palate will also give a wider nose structure. It's really an upstairs and downstairs
theory. That's so interesting. Yes. I'm actually testing it out as you're talking.
A wide palate would also give a wider nose structure. And when you have a wider nose structure, it will lead to a bigger upper airway. And so when you have a bigger upper airway, your nose is wide enough to house you. Your palatal bone is wide enough to fit the tongue. So when a child sleeps, everything collapses behind. But when there's good space, there's a good wide structure, the breathing passage will be protected. It will not collapse. Because once when a breathing structure collapses, that is where it interrupts the oxygen flow, the concentration of the oxygen. And once when oxygen level is being compromised, that's when it affects the sleep. The sleep quality, the health of the sleep. And we know that once sleep is interrupted, it really disrupts a lot of issues because sleep is when the body heals, repair, regenerates, you know. So once sleep is compromised, that is when the quality of health is being compromised as well.
You talk about compromised health, right, through breathing and sleep airways and interrupted sleep, right? Maybe you can share a little bit about the compromised health, how sleep has actually compromised the health of a child or an adult.
Compromised health is a manifestation of a disturbed airway, a disturbed sleep. So basically, sleep, the body regenerates, heals, restores. The body gets into this parasympathetic mode where immune system is being, you know, regenerated to heal and protect the body. So when the sleep is being interrupted, so the child cannot sleep healthily, it means the body won't be able to repair. So this is a situation where it is not addressed. The lack of oxygen, which causes this situation we call either sleep disordered breathing / obstructive sleep apnea, it would lead to a diminished quality of life, impaired concentration in children, mood, behavioral disorders, irritability, depression, stroke, cardiovascular diseases, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, even metabolic syndromes and type 2 diabetes. So the worst that can happen is it will lead to a sudden death, sudden cardiac death. Studies have shown individuals under 50 years of age with obstructive sleep apnea to have a life expectancy that is reduced by 8 to 18 years.
Just because they've not been able to get enough oxygen through for a continuous period of time.
That's right. That's right. So having small jaws symbolized by crooked teeth, it's really a sign that you are moving into a direction that leads to serious health problems, which compromises the general well-being.
How about small jaws and less teeth? Or small jaws Yeah. How about less teeth? How would that affect them as well?
You mean after an extraction, right, Nikki?
Yes, after an extraction, because there'll be less teeth in your jaw, your jaw will fall in.
Correct. So the jaw, yes. So actually, you're basically decreasing the size of your jaw. So perhaps this illustration might help. It's like a garage. You're trying to fit your car into a small garage door. And the garage is so small that your car can't go in. What you do is you try and chop off your car in order to fit it through. But actually, the right thing to do is, because of the small garage door, you could have actually widened the door and you can fit your car in. So this is exactly what you're doing when we have a small size jaw, but a lot of teeth that we try to fit into this small size jaw. And when we can't fit it in, we remove teeth so that we can fit all these lesser teeth right now. But the garage, the door is the issue. The small size is still an issue. So even after removing teeth, the person might have a nice straight teeth, but not necessary health in return.
It's so interesting, because a lot of times when somebody thinks of a dentist, the objectives or motivation of visiting a dentist is usually very much external. It's either visual, aesthetic, or it's an accident or an emergency. And not many times people see dentists as possible aids to health. So how do you go about changing that perception, Yoke-Li? Because you're just one lady. Are there more dentists like yourself who are championing this kind of dentistry?
Fortunately, I'm glad to say, yes, there's more awareness is created. There's more of us right now. At first, when I started this about 6-7 years back, there was hardly, I could talk hardly of this to anybody. And because of that, that started that journey of mine to move around, to travel, to meet people who are able to give me some answers on this. And even with this knowledge here in Malaysia, that it's also another challenge initially, trying to convince my colleagues or my friends that, hey, we have to treat the underlying issue of crooked teeth. It's just not about making them straight. And at first it was slow going, because it's also multidisciplinary, involving other professions in, like, the medical counterparts, the ENT doctors, the medical physicians, the chest doctors, the sleep doctors. So right now, there's more awareness and there's more of us. And you are right, my passion is really improving the well-being of the children and adults in my community through their mouths. And I love creating awareness and education, as knowledge is the key to power. So like you mentioned, I really would like to change this old mindset view of a dentist only looking into the mouth and treating teeth. I would like to introduce a broader concept of a dentist as an oral physician, a gatekeeper to the wellness of the systemic health through the mouth. So I believe prevention is better than cure. And if I am able to educate and remove roadblocks to achieving healthy sleep and airway and guide good jaw growth, I would be the happiest and most fulfilled.
I would love to see, people of your profession, the dentist, to be flying the flag for good sleep, because right now, good sleep, the World Sleep Society and so on, they are being championed by apparatus in the industry right now that aid sleep, apparatus that can actually help you breathe better. So those are the organizations that are championing it right now. I don't see many names of dentists championing good sleep. So this is a very, very enlightening and exciting pathway.
So Yoke-Li, what you're saying is that you're actually tackling it at the cause, not the symptom, huh? So, I guess the apparatus is like a Band-Aid, to enable that person to breathe, you know. So instead of doing that, you're getting it to the cause and fixing the cause first, even before the apparatus is required.
Yes.
During the pandemic, Yodli, did you see a lot more incidences of emergencies, like dental emergencies?
Yes.
Really? Like more than normal?
Not to see more than normal. It is more, the more apparent ones are really toothache, actually. Because I suppose during the pandemic, people are spending more time at home and there's a lot of time to snack, you know, to binge on food. And most of the time, it's always sugary stuff. People that I don't normally, you know, see having decays will come now with, doctor, I'm having this toothache or sensitivity, you know, what's going on? And then I will discover a decay. So, yeah, this sort of more on this sort of dental emergencies, toothaches, actually.
Going on to like teeth, as it's pretty much our main tools for digesting food and to enjoy a meal. I mean, we all look forward to having a meal. So with teeth being our main tools, do you think the people in Southeast Asia have a different kind of facial physiology as compared to those in like Northern China or Korea, Japan or India, even the Middle Easterns? Because we all eat different kinds of foods. Does that make a difference, like what we eat?
Yes, we definitely do. I was just, you know, chatting with Nikki earlier about diet. Diet has a lot to do with how our jaw structure is going to be. So if the diet is soft, the bone won't be able to have good stimulation. And when there is no proper stimulation, the bone is not going to be developed well. It's going to be underdeveloped. And that's how you end up with smaller jaw size and crooked teeth that cannot come out as well. So a good healthy diet would involve food that the child or the adult would need to chew. For example, free-range chicken, beef, steak, chewy veggies like celery, broccoli, carrots, fruits like apple, you know, something that is hard and crunchy and with nuts, because that will give a lot of stimulation to the bone to develop. So I was just, I think a good guide to talking about this area of how diet influences the jaw structure, we can look into the hunter-gatherer diet, because that diet that at that time involves a lot of chewing. And archaeology has showed that hunter-gatherers do not have crooked teeth and small jaw like what we see today. They all had 32 teeth, including wisdom teeth. They are present and with still very good space, you know, good space, they are present, very well-developed jaws, and a wide nose structure as well. And that the difference is good chewing. And besides that, the mothers are breastfeeding their babies, not just for a good 1-2 years, but into the toddler years. And they wean them off into hard-textured food, like the adults as well. So there is continuous good stimulation of the jawbone. And because of this, you have a nice, wide, broad facial structure.
And probably better looking as well.
That's right.
I always think of Anthony Robbins. I was watching a video of him the other day. And his jaw structure, if you look at his face, his jaw structure is almost perfect. He's so big, like that garage that you were talking about. I'm very, very curious, actually. I would love, if I ever get a chance to interview him, to ask him, you know, was he actually breastfed until he was a much older age? Because if you look at him, if you Google his face now, you will see what I mean. Yodli, I was just wondering if you would know, what is the age of the oldest set of teeth found?
Oh, I'm not an expert in this archaeology. But it goes, it is dated back to 1,000 years ago. That's 1,000 years ago.
So they found that they actually had full sets of teeth.
Yes.
So imagine 100 years later and them finding our people with like 26, 20. They must be wondering what happened.
Yes, yes, that's right. And I think it's even now, if for instance, 50 years ago, we don't see much of these issues with crooked teeth, you know, children not needing to wear braces. During my time, I don't really have many friends who are on braces, you know, compared to today, it's rampant. And we do not see children that are having, you know, sleep and breathing issues. They're all breathing and sleeping well, free from allergies. But today, crooked teeth has become a norm. And majority of children have increasing poor sleep, crooked teeth, behavioral problems. So that has a lot to do with how the jaw is developing.
A message for mothers out there, what can they do?
They can start with, I think the first thing is being aware of the jaw, the importance of having a healthy, developed jaw, and how to do so. One, diet. So we have talked about diet. Two, the other part that I didn't mention fully is about the tongue. The tongue plays a very important role in forming the palatal bone, the jaw bone. And when the tongue is not placed correctly, which is at the palatal bone at all times, that is when the jaw size also decreases. And there's a couple of reasons why the tongue is not placed up there. Number one is stuffy nose, so allergy. When you have allergies, you can put your tongue naturally at the top of your palate because you want to be using your mouth to breathe. So chronic mouth breathing leads to a small jaw. Mm. Once when the tongue is at the low posture, you will for sure to expect the jaw that will not be growing well. The second reason of why the tongue is in a lower position is because of habits. So the introduction of bottle feeding, pacifiers, thumb sucking, and all these things that, you know, we put, that the child puts in the mouth, teaches the tongue to think that the right position is actually on the lower position, a low tongue posture.
So sorry, we're both hopping on. No, because I see a lot of kids being given like pacifiers. So what you're saying is pacifiers actually are not advisable.
Yes, it is not advisable at all. Because it retrains the tongue to think that it is supposed to sit at the lower position instead of going up to the palate. So what we would tell mothers is to avoid, you know, pacifiers, even bottle feeding. If they cannot bottle feed, then try and get into using a cup. Because with that, at least there isn't any kind of contraption in the mouth to train the tongue to be pushed down.
So the natural position of the tongue should be at the roof of a person's mouth.
Yes. Yes. It should be at the roof of the mouth all the time.
In order for the facial bone and also the nose structure to develop correctly. Is that what you're saying, Ripley?
Yeah, that's right, Nikki. That's right.
Ripley, during the pandemic, I found some exercise videos because I was on the computer too much and I was getting this pain. So I found this Dr. Adam Fields is his name. He's based in San Diego. And it was very, very interesting. I believe he's an occupational. He had a set of tongue exercises. And I have never, ever thought I could exercise my tongue. But after doing his exercises, it was so interesting. It was like my whole top part from the neck up, I just felt like I could breathe. It was so interesting.
That's fantastic, Jasmine. So you have actually read the benefits of oral myofascial functional exercises. So basically, these are exercises for the tongue and the orofacial muscles. You know, it's just like when we go to the gym, we work on our arms, our legs, our belly, you know, our back. Many of us forget that our face too have muscles. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier, the tongue is made out of muscles. So when you strengthen your tongue, you tone up your tongue, you tone up your orofacial muscles, it's able to support your bone, your whole skeletal structure.
Because my mom has lost quite a lot of her teeth due to her diabetes. And I know it's a big struggle because when you love to eat, you need to have your teeth. they are your tools.
Jasmine, you have a question on grinding teeth, right? And can that be cured?
That's correct. Yes.
the question on grinding teeth. I believe, yes, when you've managed to find out the underlying issue. So once again, it's really about the underlying cause of the grinding. There are a couple of reasons, but the more common ones are also a compromised airway during sleep. And that causes teeth to grind as a form of opening the breathing passage to take in more air in the situation of a drop in the oxygen saturation level. So what happens is if the airway is being compromised, means it's being narrowed down, obstructed. Oxygen level in the brain decreases, and that sends out a signal to the facial muscles to contract. Because in that contraction of the facial muscles, that's when the breathing passage will open up. But the thing about the facial muscles, when it contracts, they think that there's food inside the mouth, so they begin to move. The teeth begins to grind on each other. So that's one of the reasons of that grinding. So it can be cured once when you try and work on widening the opening of the passage, the breathing passage.
So going back to my own personal experience, because I grind a lot and I wear actually a guard to sleep.
So that's a symptomatic
yes,
cure.
It is a symptomatic cure. And I also downloaded this app so that I could hear at what times do I actually grind. And it is so loud. I've also injured yes. my teeth as a result of my grinding. So it's horrible. I think these mouth exercises are essential, especially people who work in front of desks for hours, you know, at a stretch. Because it's very unhealthy, I think, for hours at a stretch. You're there and it's just all that tension around your back and your neck and your spine and obviously your face as well. So yeah, I would really love to do your exercises, Yoke Li,
just now you mentioned about how if a mother is can catch on to see whether the child is really putting the tongue on the roof of the mouth. What if you're an adult right now? What can you do as an adult to have better airways, to have better breathing in terms of a dentist point of view?
So I think to sleep well, to have healthy airways, it's not just per se the mouth and the jaw being wide. You might be having a wide, nice jaw. What you can do is to train your tongue. Because most of the time, the tongue, the muscles here are lax. They are not toned. They are not trained. And as we age, it becomes really lax. And whenever we go to bed, when everything relaxes and drops back, that is where we start snoring. The breathing passage starts to be compressed. And then you end up with, you know, either a lack of healthy sleep because of this. So what you can do is to retrain that muscles, get it toned up again. So work on the tongue exercises to just strengthen the tongue and to make sure that it goes up and sits nicely on the palate. And also working on the muscles of the throat, muscles on the face. So that's when I see a lot of improvements. I have patients coming to me with snoring issues. And what I do is I start with the least invasive, working on exercises first, because muscle affects the bone. Muscle is a very strong organ to work on, because once when you can get your the muscles, the structure being very stable, it actually stabilizes the other structures around the whole breathing passage. So when they start doing the exercises regularly and with discipline, that's when they would tell me, oh, my spouse complained lesser now. They don't find me snoring much and all this. Yeah, so that would be my first approach, advocating exercises, myofunctional therapy.
So there's help for grown-ups and adults as well, huh?
Yes, that's right. You'll be surprised. It's very interesting, the exercises that we do for snorers. You can, it's also actually part of it, singing. Singing, you're exercising this area, the throat muscles, you know. And you also do gargling, but without water. So you just have to, you know, so you just try and stimulate and tone up the muscles there. Because most of the time, you don't even know what are the muscles that are
That's
present.
That's right. You hardly give notice to them. So singing, t- tongue exercises. How can we find out more about all of this, Doctor? Is there something that you're a part of? Is there an organization or is there a website?
Just type myofunctional therapy. You'll be able to get into organizations. They call themselves oral myology. You'll be able to read up, get ideas on what exercises that you can do and how it will tackle the areas that you are having, the problems that you are having.
That's really amazing, Yokli. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think you've really enlightened us in this area, the top part of our bodies, which we utilize every day for our sleeping, eating, talking. What would we do without a healthy upper trachea and the skeletal muscles and tissues all around this area?
Actually, besides exercises, what I also train is nasal breathing, because nowadays there's a lot of so chronic mouth breathing causes a lot of haywire to the body system. Yes. As well, because the nose is made to take in air, because there's proper filtration, there's proper disinfection as well going in. But when chronic mouth breathing happens, you will see a lot of issues like, you know, enlarged tonsils in children. You see enlarged adenoids, because these tissues now become the second line of defense in trying to filter the air that comes through. And because of that, when all this gets enlarged, the tonsils gets enlarged, the adenoids gets enlarged, that's where it also blocks up the breathing passage, the breathing airway. I retrain them to breathe through their nose because that's the right thing to do. And the tongue posture, to put the tongue up, having a good lip seal. I train my patients to swallow correctly as well, because swallowing, an individual would swallow about 200 times a day. So imagine if you don't swallow correctly. The correct swallowing is still the tongue being up on the palate, and your facial muscles are all still, nothing moves, only the throat and the back of your tongue.
Practice that. Practice tongue
yes,
up.
That's what we do with the patients as well.
How very interesting.
I had a session with Yokli in her clinic some time back, and it really changes how you breathe, and it's like a revelation. You try it and put your tongue at the top of your mouth and you start breathing. Close your lip, relax. I find that I feel that I actually have a more intake of air into my nose. It's like you're breathing more. And I tried it with my two nephews and they said, oh, it's like I'm breathing more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, when you put all these things in order, that is when the body becomes more effective in dealing with stress. Yeah. So don't underestimate the power of the tongue and the power of breathing through the nose.
That's such a powerful message.
Swallow correctly, chew hard food. And this will solve a lot of issues that we see when it comes to an overall health condition.
Well, we really love your advocacy, Yokli, and would love to have you back on the show one of these days as well. At Asia Fitness Today, we advocate movement as therapy. Maybe you can tell us, what is the one thing that you've been able to use your fitness for good?
I think the influence and impact on my family and friends to be more physically active. I generally love getting myself out and up physically. So I generally love outdoor sports. I love hiking and playing tennis in particular. And so I would encourage and invite my family members to join me so that they will also be fit and healthy. When you do sports, basically, you're not just getting yourself fit physically, but it's mentally as well, emotionally as well, because it releases a lot of good hormones.
And it's the camaraderie, isn't it, with your family and friends and spending that time together. Thank you very much. To see you again very soon.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Jasmine and Nikki, for having me.
Thank you, everyone. For those of you listening in, this session is one that you want to tweet It's got so many gold nuggets in it that you can learn from Yogli today. Do us a favor. If you love these sessions and you want more people to know about it, take 30 seconds to rate the program. We would love to hear from you.
Thank you, and see you next time.
It's so immensely rewarding to meet with people so fired up with passion and strong purpose that when you're in their company, even an ant could feel like they could change the world. I've been in the presence of these magnificent humans and have witnessed how so amazing they are, leaving a trail of light for those who follow the path. And this is the aspiration of the Kurang Manis podcast, to bring you conversations with persons from Asia and Pacific who are world-class at their vocation and share their path to mastery, their daily habits, their new normal, and how they strive to leave a legacy for others to continue on. Join us on our next episode as we speak with yet another inspiring guest. Could it be you, perhaps?